Thank you for listening to this message from Journey Life Center. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at journeylifecenter.org.
For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships and brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard and grids herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds a spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when she sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strengthen and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in a time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Amen. Awesome. All that was your mother. Maybe. Okay. You guys. She did great. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. How many ready for the word? Finally. Amen. Praise God. And I know you're busy today, but you want to get to the restaurants before the Baptist, but I'll do the best I can. Amen. Whew, hallelujah. So I want to talk about four amazing mothers. And I really fought on this one because I didn't want to preach it. I'm probably, out of all the Mother's Day sermons preached across the country today, no one's preaching this message. But you pay me to do weird things, so we're going to do it. We're going to go to Matthew's genealogy in chapter 1. Do y'all mind if I take this jacket off? You all right? A little music? My wife's not impressed. Well, I'm feeling kind of rough, and it's hot up here, and I got a tie on. That'll be next. That'll be next. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. These are the scriptures that you don't read. The son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Abinadab. What were they thinking with these names? Abinadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her, Jezebel, David got around. Who knows? I don't know. Bathsheba, they didn't put her name here, but we know who she is. Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Let's pray because I need it. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to preach this word under your anointing, and may it be fruitful, and may it be helpful, and may it touch people's lives, and we're thankful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church says, amen. So there's a lot of women in the Bible, and over 44 years we've preached on all of them, I guess. But isn't it odd? And this is what the Holy Spirit got me thinking, and I couldn't get it out of my mind, because it is so rare to even mention a woman in a genealogy. It just isn't done. And here we see four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. And if that isn't shocking enough, just putting their names out there, these four women did not start out very well. Now do you see why I don't want to preach this? They did not start out very well. But yet they're in the line. Yet they're in the story. And most of who I'm preaching to today, you're saved, you're already in the story. But for some of us, this was our story in one way or another, men and women alike. So let's quickly look at these four. This could be four sermons. So pray that I'm disciplined. But let's look at the first one, Tamar, Genesis 38. And this story, God. This story, I don't think I've ever seen any story like it on cable TV. This is a story that would be unbelievable. It's the weirdest story in the Bible. There are parts of this story that I'm embarrassed to read, so I won't. You can read it on your own. But chapter 38, verse 6, when their sons were grown, this is Judah, hello, major guy, right? David comes from the line of Judah, so does Jesus. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he starts with Abraham, and Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begat, Genesis 38, verse 6. Y'all aren't praying for me. When their sons were grown, Judah arranged for First of all, why would you name your son A lot of people refer to him as Error, or just That's his oldest son, to marry a girl named Tamar. Here we go. But had become so wicked in the sight of Yahweh that Yahweh ended his life. Yeah, I hate it when that happens. Then Judah said to Ur's brother, Onan, another popular name. Onan. I got to put some humor in this or I'll never get through it. Your duty is to join yourself to her because we got to keep the line going. So we have to keep it in the family. So the husband died. So the brother, this is Jewish law, weird. So the brother had to marry her to keep the first brother's line going. Confusing. Go perform your duty as a brother-in-law and provide an heir for your brother. Now I won't get into the rest of the story, but he did do his duty. He did his duty, but he did it in such a way that she would never get pregnant. Can I just leave it at that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Elder. You can read between the lines. So poor Tamar never gets pregnant, right? So that doesn't work out. And then he dies. So another brother dies. I don't know if Tamar's the issue, but anyone attached to her dies. But then let's jump down to verse 11. Judah said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, listen, Tamar, just live as a widow. Go back to your father's house until my youngest son, Shelah, grows up. So she has to wait for this boy. We don't know his age, but he's not old enough to be married. You have to wait for him to grow up. Hate it when that happens. So Tamar went home to her parents, but Judah worried that Shelah would end up dead like his brothers. He had a great vision for his son. So Tamar, verse 13, Tamar learned that Shelah had grown up, but Judah still had not given him to her to father a child for her deceased husband. So when Tamar found out her father-in-law was coming to Timnah for the sheep shearing, we all want to go to sheep shearing, she removed her widow's clothes and covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and she sat waiting at the crossroads where Judah would have to pass by. When Judah saw her, she was wearing a veil over her face, and he thought she was a prostitute. We all think that. These stories. He had no clue that she was his own daughter-in-law. Again, I'm mystified. So he approached her and said, come sleep with me. Still he did not know. What will you give me if I do? She answered. He responded, I'll send you a young goat. We all want goats. From the flock. What guarantee can you give me that you will really send it? She asked. Well, what pledge do you want? Judah asked. Tamar answered, give me your necklace with your personal signet and the staff you're holding. So he gave them to her, and he went and slept with her. When he got up and went home, she removed her veil. Apparently, she kept her veil on. And put her widow garment back on. Later she discovered she was pregnant. Jeez. Soon afterward, Judah sent the young goat by his friend Hira the Adullamite, like that's important, to recover his items from the prostitute, but she was nowhere to be found. He asked the townspeople, where is she? And then they say there was no prostitute here. So he returned to Judah and said, I couldn't find her. Besides that, the townspeople said there never was a prostitute there. Judah replied, let her keep my pledge. If we try to get it now, we'll become a laughing stock, because that's what's important. After all, I did send you with the payment I promised her, and you couldn't find her. 3 months later, can you see the 3 months later, your daughter-in-law, Tamar, has been promiscuous, and now she is pregnant. Indignant, Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. Burned. As she was being brought out, she sent word to her father-in-law, look, the one who owns these things got me pregnant. At this point, you love her. At this point, she said, yes. I wonder who should be burnt now. Okay. Okay. See whose signet and staff are these. And Judah recognized them as his and said, she is more righteous than I, for I never gave my son Sheila to marry her. No, there's more reason than that, Judah. And he left her go free and never slept with her again. Thank you, Judah. Listen, this gal did what she had to do to survive. She did what she had to do to survive. And she winds up in the line of Judah. In fact, the Bible in the New Testament, it didn't say this in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, she had twins. Well, thank you, Judah. But she's in the line, and I don't know about you, but people say, you know, I don't know who wrote, you know, someone just wrote the Bible. Listen, if someone was just going to make things up, they wouldn't make that up. They would make Judah look good. But Judah looks pretty bad here. And this whole sordid story is just, it just boggles the mind to look at it and say, Tamar, what in the world? But Matthew felt that it was important to mention her in this. It would be smarter, it would look better on everybody if we just forgot about Tamar. But he doesn't forget, he brings her into the story. It's by Tamar. And it's not an accusation. It's a realization and it's an acknowledgement that God will use who he wants to use. And you, yeah, and listen, ladies, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But listen, God's hand is on you and he will help you to get through situations that seem to be impossible, but God will make a way where there seemingly is no way. Can we give God praise for that? Amen. Tamar is in the story. And then we get to Rahab. Rahab. Does everyone know who Rahab is? All 10 of you. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Joshua, the son of Nun. That means he didn't have a father, the son of Nun. Secretly sent out two spies. Remember the two spies? That from their camp at Acacia and told them, go and explore the land of Canaan, especially Jericho. They went and arrived at Jericho and entered the house of Rahab the prostitute and lodged there. The king of Jericho was told some Israelites have come into the city tonight to spy out the entire land. They're in Rahab's house. Ooh. So the king sent messengers to Rahab who said to her, turn over the men who entered your house. They're here to spy out our land. But Rahab had already hidden the two men. Yes, she said, the men came to me, but I had no idea where they were from. They left at sundown just before the city gates were closed at night. Who knows where they went? Quick, go after them, and maybe you can catch them. Don't you love Rahab? But Rahab had hidden the men on her rooftop under stalks of flax she had spread out to dry on the roof. And the story goes that they spied out Jericho. They got out of the city okay. And the way they got out of the city was she dropped that scarlet cord. Isn't it interesting that it had to tell us the color of the cord? Why color? What difference does it make what color the cord is? Because scarlet is the color of the blood of Jesus. And they were let down and brought to safety by that scarlet cord. Woo! Glory to God. Can you just see them? They're going up. See, her house was built on the wall of the city, which is very common. A lot of the houses all the way around the city, they would use the back of the house as part of the wall, and they would connect houses, and then where there were breaks in the wall, they would build wall. But the house was actually part of the wall of Jericho, and she let them down by a scarlet thread. Ah, Rahab. But that's not the end of the story. It doesn't say this in the Old Testament, but Matthew tells us in the New Testament. And we don't know who it was. Well, we do know who it is, right? The name is there in Matthew. Married Rahab. Because she decided whose side she's on. She said, you know what? I think you're going to take the city. And I want to be on the side of the winners. Here's a lady who knew how to make the right choices in life. Come on. We've all made some bad choices, but the fact that you're sitting here tells me you made some good choices. And she made the choice to side with the Israelites. And because she sided with the Israelites, Joshua knew about it, and he said, this house right here, don't attack it, keep it safe. And she brought all her family into the house. How many believe she brought every uncle and aunt she knew? All the cousins, second cousins, third cousins. I mean, she brought all the family. They're all sitting there in the house, and the rest of Jericho is getting burned down and destroyed. And at the end of the battle, her house was standing. Oh, glory to God. I've been through some battles. You've been through some battles. But at the end of the day, her house is still standing. Glory to God. And we kind of don't want to admit it, but it was a prostitute that did it. Come on, church. We could have just downplayed that part of it, not mentioned it at all, but all of a sudden her name shows up in G. I mean, imagine if this was your line. You know, we've looked back on my dad's side all the way back to the 1500s. And I know names, but I don't know what they did, and I'm probably glad I don't know. Because how many know we all have some horse thieves in there somewhere? Amen. Not every generation's got it all together. So how many believe, since Jesus is the Word, isn't it strange that he would allow a prostitute in his line? But he didn't allow a prostitute. He allowed a woman who made the right choice and saved the Israelites that day when they destroyed Jericho. Give God a praise for Rahab the harlot. Six generations later, by the way, six generations later. And that brings us to Ruth, the third one. How many know the story of Ruth? I don't know that I'll read all these. By the way, we got pictures of all of them. Misty just amazes me that she found photographs of these women and brought them to us today. Some of you are believing that story. I don't know that I'll read all this scripture, but how many know the story of Ruth? And Naomi comes to her and says, I want to see you marry. He said, you'll be happy and secure. And she says, listen, you know, Boaz is our relative, right? And he was supposed to be the next man up and all that sort of thing. So the story goes that this evening he'll be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Go take a bath. Always good advice. And put on some nice perfume. Dress in your best clothes, and go to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you're there until he has plenty to eat and drink. You women are so conniving. Why? It says, Watch closely to see where he lies down. Go uncover his feet and lie down there, and he'll tell you what to do. These stories are just, you can't do better on the soap operas. This is amazing. So around midnight, Boaz was startled, and he awoke, and he was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" Boaz asked. "I'm Ruth, your servant girl," she answered. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, because you are a close relative by marriage, one who is my kinsman redeemer." And I won't get into all the Jewish law on that, but just like in the first case, the next man up is supposed to, because the inheritance is important, and you have to keep the line going, all right? Now, people say there's some hanky-panky going on here. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. At the very least, it means by removing the skirt, the corner of his garment, she's just simply saying, "I'm available. I'm willing to be your wife." Okay? Because later on in the scripture, he calls her a brave woman of noble character. Okay. So we don't know what happened that night, but the point is the two of them got together. How many know they did get together eventually? So here we have Ruth. Whew. It's kind of interesting. One of the words in the English language is ruthless. To be ruthless, to not have mercy. Wow. And here was a woman who knew her place. She knew, listen, she knew, and we might as well throw Naomi in here too. She knew how to get people to do the right thing. This was not manipulation. This was revelation. Boaz was supposed to step up. Actually, there was one even closer, but he said, "No, thank you." All right? So he was next in line. But Boaz did the right thing because someone opened his eyes to the fact that he needs to do the right thing. How many got wives who know how to do that? And keep us, no one raised their hands. Okay. Y'all just be that way. Amen. Gloria knows how to keep me straight. She said, "No, I don't. I never would have let him preach this message." Ruth was a woman who knew how to get people to do the right thing. And then finally, I can't believe I got through that this quick. Bathsheba. How many know about Bathsheba? Poor thing. All she was doing was taking a shower on the rooftop. I don't know. Water runs downhill. What in the world are you doing at the top? I don't know. Makes more sense to be at the bottom where the roof, I don't know. But she's bathing on the top of the roof. Okay, whatever. That's her prerogative, right? If you want to bathe. If you want to take a sponge bath on your roof, you just go right ahead. Traffic will be stopping, and it'll be a mess. But David, how many know the king's house is the tallest house? David sees her and lusts after her and wants her. You know, David has a lot of problems, as great as David is. But he sent and inquired and said, "This is Bathsheba. She's the daughter of Eliam. She is the wife of Uriah, the Hittite." He's not even a Jewish guy, but he's a Hittite. I guess if you're not Jewish, it's okay. So he took her. And really, the king has absolute authority. You understand that. She really doesn't have any say in this matter. And he returned her to her house. But she conceived. She sent a message to the king. "I am with child." Hello. That changes everything. That changes everything. And you know the situation, how bad it was that David had her husband killed. But he winds up marrying her, and from her we get Solomon. And what an amazing line of kings from then on. So here's a woman who knew how to turn a bad situation into a good situation. And again, for some reason, Matthew felt like we need to include her in the line. He didn't name her, but everyone knew who Bathsheba was. Obviously, every Jew would know who Bathsheba is. Doesn't need to name her. But she was the type of person who had no control over her situation. Can I say that about 10 times? No control over her situation. As much as the other women I mentioned, no control over their situations. They were living in a time where women were put into those situations. Perhaps you've been in those situations. But when you trust the Lord, He can turn a bad situation into a good situation. And what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. Hallelujah. Anybody been there? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody, has anyone had any failures, any problems, any situations? You've been to some crossroads where you took the wrong way and you made the wrong decision. You thought your life was over. You thought, man, this is as bad as it gets. But here you are. You're still standing. Glory to God. Come on and give Him a praise. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. She turned a bad situation around for good. That's how my Jesus works. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. How many think I did all right with those four women? That was a rough sermon. Lord, I don't know when I've had a sermon where I've question whether I should even preach it or not. But what kept coming to me is, you know, for a lot, I've been here a few decades. I knew some of you when you first walked through those doors. I know what you've been through, some of you. I know your story. Other people don't know your story. They look up to you now. They think you're amazing. Yeah, you are. But I know the rest of the story. And before you start thinking I'm looking down my nose, I've got a story. And I don't talk about my story a lot. Because when I do and I come visit you in your house, people lock up their silver and stuff. So I try not to tell my story too often. And I'm not going to tell it this morning. But I've got a story. None of us are all that. We are what we are by the grace of God. Someone once said, who looked at a poor person, a destitute, homeless person, and he said, if not by the grace of God, there go I. Before you look down your nose on somebody, just remember, if not for the grace of God, where would you be if it weren't for Jesus? These four women made it into the very genealogy of Jesus. And then Jesus turns around and calls us family. We're all in the line. We're all part of the family of God. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your power and presence. Thank you for your strength, for your enlightenment, for using us, Father,
to further your gospel, to proclaim your strength, to let people know without you, who are we? You make us who we are because you saw us before we were. Hallelujah. Let us go from this place more confident than ever that we will meet our destiny. We will